You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Jeff Cox is going to join us at 1:25. He had on Jeff Crane earlier this morning, who outlined some big changes that are coming to Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium, going from 58 to 32.
It'll be full. That'll be fun.
I mean, you'll have a sellout. It'll actually.
I like it.
Watch. It'll be in demand now. Like, tickets will be in demand.
I actually like the setup. I think it actually favors Memphis.
It definitely will make the building look more full. It'll sound better when you announce crowds, right? Like, it's kind of funny how that works, you know?
Well, that's why Texas, when they built a new basketball arena, they built 10,000.
Like, I would rather have 34,000, or excuse me, I'd rather have 28,000 and a 32,000-seat arena than 34 to 58.
That's why Mississippi State, where they have 66,000, they didn't do that addition on the other end. They were like, we're good. You know,
right,
like
we got 66,000.
Yeah,
like
we'll take that. We're gonna be fine. In fact, we're lucky if we get that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Speaking of SEC teams getting that, I guess I need to back up just a little bit and just jog people's memory. So earlier this summer, there was a house settlement.
Okay.
About the house case settlement. That basically, you know, was a broker two-part deal that pays $2.7 billion to former athletes in back damages, and also simultaneously opened the door for schools to share revenue with their athletes in the future. I think everybody remembers that, right? We don't have – it's not done. It's not finalized.
Sure.
That was supposed to be sort of
group of five.
Completed this week. Well, that's the Power Five.
Power Five. Yeah, good. Yeah, and Power Five.
But it's everybody. It's everybody. It's every single – Power Five is responsible as well. Yeah. Just, I think, a little less. But
lesser.
They're responsible for back damages as well.
There you go.
But the other big part of that was the revenue sharing that schools are now going to be able to share to pay their players. Revenue they get to pay their players. I hope that's clear. Right now, it's all done through what is known as collectives, NIL collectives, right? So basically what happens is you agree to deals, you agree to NIL, and you're paid via the collective. So if you're a Memphis basketball player, you are paid through the Bluff City Collective, right? There are other collectives at Memphis, like the 901 Fund. Like, there are other collectives, you know, at a lot of different schools. Every school has one. Some are better operated than others, but everybody has one. But what is being talked about in the SEC now, according to Ross Dellinger of Yahoo, is you are probably talking about $15 million a school for football, $20 million altogether, $15 million of which will go explicitly to football. So this is SEC schools getting $20 million a year in revenue sharing, right, for all their sports, and $15 million of that is expected, according to Ross Dellinger, to go directly to football. Now, that is completely separate of NIL, right? So let's say that Florida has an NIL budget of $10 million. I don't know that it's $10 million. It might be $15 million, but let's just use this back of envelope math. They have $10 million of NIL every year. Now they have $15 million a year on top of the $10 million.
This is a cherry on top of what's already a large.
So basically they have a $25 million annual salary cap where they can distribute money to their players. So the way that the idea is, the way this would work is that NIL, this is the vision for the SEC. NIL would no longer be, that's what you're getting to play here, that's what you're going to get throughout your time here, right? NIL would be the first course. You would get the NIL before you arrive, right? You would say, I'm committing. I would like some NIL.
Uh-huh.
I'm committing. And then once you arrive at Florida, for example, then you would start partaking in the revenue sharing. So you would, the NIL would almost be a cash advance, and then you would start getting the revenue sharing. You're part of the revenue sharing, which, again, for an SEC's football team is going to be $15 million a year.
Does it have to be split equally, unlike NIL?
What do you mean?
The money that this $15 million bucks. In other words, if Florida, in this case, right now, if...
Oh, like every Jerry's player gets the same thing? No, yeah. I do not believe that. No, I don't believe where it's going to have to be. Where it's going to get a little tricky is Title IX. Mm-hmm. Sort of, if you have $20 million, how much do the women's sports get?
Yes,
right,
yes.
That's going to be the part they have to get figured out. Mm-hmm. But in terms of player to player, it's going to be, I think, up to the discretion of the
quarterback.
The school.
We're going to give you 10.
Yeah,
though,
I mean, that's just the way that
five mil or
you can't
whatever.
Pay everybody the same thing. I mean, that's just going to be ridiculous. Because mm-hmm. The quarterback, like, why am I getting the same as the backup offensive lineman? That makes no damn sense.
Well, like at SMU, I think the way that they've rigged it was that every player gets 35,000, and then there's an above and beyond that.
I'm sure it's more than that now because they're in the ACC. Yep. But yes.
It can be. Okay, I get
it. So we're the
more money.
NIL is like the foundation of it has been of every school, right? Memphis has a good NIL, and they have the
That's Fred's money.
Yes, from FedEx and some others. I mean, they're big boosters, right?
Boosters,
they're big boosters outside
these
of
these collectives, the Bluff.
Yeah, there's more. But Fred's $5 million was definitely significant. But now that schools are going to have that, and they're going to have revenue sharing upwards of $10 to $15 million a year to pay their players and to keep their players with. So let's say that Memphis was actually competitive with an NIL budget, right? Which I think they probably were. But this is where you really get left behind. This is where you really start to feel the crunch. And by the way, the Big 12 schools are going to feel that as well. The ACC schools are going to feel that as well because their TV deals and their revenue deals are not as lucrative as the SEC and the Big 10. It's just the truth. And so it's such a gigantic amount of money. We're starting to get into, I'm not saying it's NFL money. It's not NFL money.
It's pro-ish.
But it's like, it's a lot.
Pro-ish.
It's like, I mean, it's like you could see a world in 10 years where it is.
Well, and the facilities are already sick because of the revenue sharing that they've already done without giving it to the players, because you're getting $60 million that you have to spend someplace. You're building the most top-end training facility in the world.
Now, I would say this actually, if this is how it goes, if a school gets $20 million and they earmark three-fourths of that in the SEC for football, it's bad news for Memphis football. But it's pretty good news for Memphis basketball because you can still compete if you're Memphis basketball. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
There's less cash flow.
Yeah, you don't have to worry
SEC
about the
basketball.
The player count is different.
They're prioritizing football in the SEC as they always have, right? But, and look, other schools may do it differently. Like Big 12 may prioritize basketball. They may say, we're going to put more of our money into basketball. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to be or what that's going to look like. But, you're going to lose even more ground in football. Like, that is the truth of the matter. And it stinks on a day like this where it's exciting and they're breaking ground and they're going to move on to phase two with Simmons Bank. It's like, oh, yeah, remember revenue sharing? Calkins wrote, and we'll talk to him about this when he comes on, but he wrote earlier this summer, is this the end of Memphis Athletics as we know it? And he wrote it because of this particular ruling, right? This particular settlement in the House that, if you start talking about revenue sharing with these schools, good luck. I mean, because you're not your revenue it's going to be dwarfed, right? It's going to be dwarfed. And your NIL was actually competitive. You know, your NIL was that. I mean, it wasn't on the par of the SEC or anything like that, but it was competitive.
Well, the ACC doesn't have a big enough TV deal to do any revenue sharing, really.
I mean, the AAC, yes.
Yeah, AAC, exactly. Your group
of
clubs.
Yeah, no chance.
It's they're taking.
No chance.
Yeah, you're $2, $3, $4, $10 million, whatever, and it's going into the revenue.
I mean, yeah, if you get 20%, you know, of an AAC. You know, your cut of the AAC television deal, I mean, you know, it's just not...
Nothing.
It's not going to be enough. And again, like Nick Saban's quoted in this piece. I kind of do find this funny.
What'd he say?
Nick Saban is quoted in this piece about he has concerns. He has...
That's why he got out.
He has concerns. He says, the NIL era has created a lack of parity within the sport.
Of course.
The industry is on its way to a caste system of haves and have-nots. I think players should be compensated, but I think they should be compensated in a way that, you know, this player is compensated under the same set of circumstances as that player is compensated that you're playing against. That's not the case now. Nick Saban living in an ivory tower, there's no doubt about that, bro. There has never been parity in the history of college football, ever. Not one time. Never. Not one time have we ever been able to say that everybody's operating on the same playing field. It's never been true before, and it's never going to be true ever. And he just happened to be the coach at Alabama.
He's overlooking the back channel money we've been throwing out there.
Right.
Too.
I mean, that's the difference, right? I mean, and even if it wasn't about the back channel money,
right?
It's the SE, it's the television, it's the exposure, it's the TV deals,
facilities.
Yeah. It's the whole nine,
right?
It's the whole nine that. I mean that was indirect,
sure.
But that was NIL. That wasn't cash in pocket.
No, you
but
can
that
have
was
the,
NIL.
Not, everything's not. Yeah, everything's nicer.
You know,
it's the best.
Yeah, if you go to you get your damn hair cut in the Alabama locker room. Yeah.
Here's
you know
a
what
couple
I'm saying?
Extra hair gels. Here's 20. Here's yeah.
You get the chop. You know, you get the you got the VA, the hottest video games in the locker room. You know what I'm saying?
Like, what do you need?
It wasn't cash in pocket over the table like it is now. But this has always existed, and it's going to be exacerbated moving forward with revenue sharing. Now, I don't know what, you know, and I would be interested to hear what Ed Scott has to say about something like this. We have not heard him on this topic, I don't believe. So I'd be interested to see what the new Memphis AD thinks about that and how you can manage to stay competitive in an ever, you know, hardening environment for that. It's not easy. I don't envy that position.
I do think... You're going to have to figure out a way to keep players in your market a little bit if you're Memphis. In other words, I know we've talked about this in basketball, that we're having less and less players that are from Memphis that want to stay at Memphis. You have to – I know this sound. I'm going to sound like a friggin' Pollyanna here, but follow me here, John. You do have to find some people who love playing for not only a little bit of money, but like – some other reasons. Like, my other reasons are my relationships. I know this sounds so hokey because now we're talking about $15 million in revenue share money, but, like, there's got to be something more.
Yeah, I mean...
I don't know what it is.
You are kind of getting Pollyannish.
I'm grasping at straws, but there was a day where people did want to play for Memphis. But when you're talking about this kind of money, you no longer want to do that.
Well, look, Ryan Sorfield is doing an amazing job right now with what he's got. I mean, he's maximizing it.
Right.
He's got this influx, right? And he's maximizing and you know, creating real momentum. Like, I think Memphis has done a... Like, if we were doing what we did offseason grades for Memphis basketball, if we were doing offseason grades for Memphis football, it'd be A plus probably.
100%.
A plus, I would say.
A lot of that is this year's money situation.
Oh, sure, certainly. Absolutely, because you saw the immediate impacts, right? You got Antoine Hill. You know, you got Elijah Herring, you know, from Tennessee.
That's right now.
You got the Indiana DB.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, you got Antoine Hill Jr.
Is that the cat from South Carolina who's the running back?
That's Mario Anderson.
Yeah, so you got Mario Anderson. I mean,
he committed before the money. But,
okay.
But yes, I mean,
you keep Hennigan because you can figure it out.
And then you get commitments from a guy like Hill, you know, who's coming next year at quarterback. So I think Ryan Silverfield's done an amazing job, and Memphis football altogether has done an amazing job of, you know, it's a shifting environment, it's a rapidly changing environment, staying competitive, staying relevant, competing. Not easy. Not easy. They've done it. And they won 10 games a year ago, right? So it's been incredible. It's been an incredible – but it just gets harder. It just gets harder to do it. And it's going to take more work to do it, you know? And you're – like, there's never going to be any moment where Memphis football is going to be able to sit back and say, we're good. We've got it. No, there's always going to be more to do. There's always going to be, you know, a facility to upgrade, NIL, you know, money to raise. You know, like, there's just – you know – and that's the charge. It's like I would send this story out to every single booster that I know, and I would say, listen, we need more. And you know what? That does get tough. that does get tough, because if you ever underperform as a coach, or if a player gets, you know, a lot of NIL money, comes in and underperforms, you got to go back to these same guys and ask for money. And it's like, yeah, why? Like, I think that's the problem Memphis basketball kind of ran into this year, is that, you know, last year was such a disaster with the players that had big NIL deals, and it ended in a missed tournament. So it's like, why would I come back to the table? I'm not excited. I'm not excited to give more money. I want my money back from a year ago. I want a damn refund. All right, but you don't get refunds in NIL. It is what it is.
Maybe there'll be a day where they do something like that. Like, hey, you know,
I saw like where collectives could like find players. Like that's coming. Like collectives can find players if they don't.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we talked about that with Kirby because of the speeding thing.
Right. Right. You know? Yeah. Exactly. So yeah. That could happen.
I do think, like, in most, now this is where you become compensated, right? And there are some players that don't want this because of the tax implications. But follow me here. Like, there, if you're getting paid that kind of money, in what walk of life, as you become a professional, I don't care if it's not athletics, where you underperform, or you know, in some cases like ours, it might be a bonus. But even when you're not bonusing, there are other metrics, right? Is this guy showing up to work?
Mm-hmm.
What's their attitude?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would think there might be a way to try to gauge some of this stuff. Be like, you know what? Jeremy over here, who we added to the roster, you know, we signed this contract and he got a $10,000 signing bonus, and then it's a $100,000 NIL deal. And the metrics are Jeremy needs to average 10 points a game. If he averages 10, he gets the 100. Now, if he averages 20, he gets 250.
I mean, I'm sure.
You know, like, because there are many jobs that's how the score works.
Right.
And that's how you get better.
I'm sure that could happen. I'm sure that could,
makes
could
sense.
Have incentivized.
Why not? I'd sign that if I were a player and I bet on myself. I'd be like, yo, man, like, I'm pretty awesome. I'm going to try to get $250,000 because I can score 20.
Maybe so. Anyway, it's a new day in college athletics.
Interesting.
There's no doubt about it.
15 mil per team.
Per football team. Ooh. In the SEC. That's what they're expecting for sure. We'll talk about this with Jeff, get his thoughts on it. The Grizzly Summer League, Edie, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, how do you turn to FM, ESPN. Jeff Calkins. Columns over the Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show, joins us every single Thursday, and he joins us now. Are you? Do you have a shovel in hand? Are you out there at Simmons Bank as we speak?
I got a pickaxe. I'm more of a pickaxe than a shovel guy. I like to be the guy who comes along swinging a pickaxe, and then someone with a shovel will come behind me to remove the debris that I have scattered.
Got it. There was a piece. It's just sort of the ironic backdrop of, you know, all the things that Memphis is doing and announcing and expanding. There was a piece, mm-hmm, Ross Dellinger wrote today at Yahoo that sort of just made me sad. not that anything is different, not that anything has changed, but just like yet another sobering reminder of how difficult it is to exist in the world when you're Memphis. You wrote about it when the house settlement case went down, and revenue sharing was announced, amongst other things, mm-hmm, like back pay. You wrote, you asked the question, you posited, is this the end for Memphis athletics as we know it? And today, Ross Dellinger reports that what it would look like for SEC schools is an additional $15 million a year for each football program, on top of NIL collectives, which the people do not believe are going anywhere,
right,
for a lot of reasons. So, I mean, they're operating very likely with $25 to $30 million budgets for football, just for players now. And again, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't change your place in the world, but it just makes it that much damn harder to ever hope to be there.
Well, what's interesting is that, you know, then we had the subsequent conversation. I mean, you knew that Memphis, even if they had any kind of a direct payroll, like is contemplated in the South settlement, you knew it wasn't going to be the, I mean, the number that was originally thrown out was up to 22 million. So 15 million, actually, it's good news, you know, that it's 15 million. So, but what's interesting is that Ed Scott, the new AD, when he was asked about it, and no one had spoken about this before, like, what's this mean for Group of Five schools? Are they going to make direct payments? And he said, oh, it's no question, we're going to opt in. Well, subsequently, the commissioner of the conference has said, you know, you know, we may have a collective decision on this as a conference to, you know, to decide what we want to do so one school doesn't get too much ahead of the other school, basically, was the implication. I'm not quoting exactly. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out, whether Memphis, even if Memphis wants to, quote unquote, opt in to paying players directly, whether they'll be allowed to by the conference. And then, of course, if there will be limits because you name it, Rice or someone only wants to pay X dollars, will Memphis be allowed to pay, you know, X times $2? Maybe not. Of course, all of this is going to be peanuts compared to what the SEC and the Big Ten and whatever else ultimately pay. And yes, it is. I mean, you're just seeing this. Even if you were over the, you know, even if you were on the other side of the divide, if you were Kansas or Kansas State, you're still not keeping up with this. You know, like it sort of was reflecting America. It used to be rich to just be a millionaire. Now, you know, the gap between what CEOs make and what rank and file labor make is crazy, right? It used to just be kind of, those are the millionaires who live over there, and we're the rank. Now it's quasi, you know, everyone's flying. It's just insane. And it's a little bit like that in college football too, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess that it is sobering.
Like Memphis is doing a lot, bro. Like Memphis is doing a lot. Like I was saying earlier,
Memphis is doing a lot.
Like we gave Memphis basketball their offseason grades. If I was grading Memphis football, it'd be A+. Like you could not have asked for a better offseason. No. They got money. They got a stadium. They got hype. They got all these commitments, and it's like boom, $20 million for the Florida Gators.
Right. It's sickening. I mean, I guess. Yeah,
I mean,
funny,
that's
though.
Not like, their competition. I get still, it. That's still, not. The, but
so you, right now you have the situation where the SEC media days today. Who's there? Arkansas is there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, which is better right now, to be an Arkansas fan or to be a Memphis fan? I mean, in some ways, Arkansas is better. I mean,
well, it's always better to be an Arkansas fan than a Memphis fan.
It's always better because the money is. I'm not talking about broadly speaking.
Well, you're just talking about at this particular in
I'm
this particular
about
day.
The football season.
But
I'm talking about the foot. No, I'm talking about the football season.
Yeah, right? This
who's
particular
more,
football
who is
season.
More looking forward to this football season.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And so I guess it's just a matter of perspective. Yes, if you want to be depressed about it.
Well,
it's incredibly depressing. It once upon a time, I mean, it is interesting. Like when I was, talking about what the best game of the life, you know, in Memphis football was, I talked about that earlier this year. Jarvis called in and he reminded me that not so long ago, a team he played on beat Auburn back to back years. You know, like it's just like, that stuff's crazy now. It's just crazy now. Auburn wouldn't even play you back to back years.
Well,
you know?
Yes.
Like,
yes, it's different.
It's crazy. It's different. And Memphis is on the outside. And it's just true. And it is one reason why ultimately, like, you can still dream of Memphis basketball going to the Final Four and winning a title.
Yes.
I'm saying it's going to happen. Hasn't ever happened before.
Well, it's
but
close.
But you can still dream about that.
Yep.
You can't dream about Memphis football doing it. Of course, you've never been able to dream about
that's
Memphis
true.
Football.
That's true. Yes. And, you know, to the extent that I don't know that people even, you know, the idea of Memphis winning a national championship football is just never
right. It doesn't need to be. Like I've said this all along, Memphis football has supplied a lot. Like when I was talking about this earlier this week, there's one game after another that people could tick off that were a blast: the triple overtime win over BYU, the beating Cincinnati in back-to-back weeks, you know, once to win the conference championship, going to the New Orleans Bowl, going to the Cotton Bowl, beating UCF early in Ryan's tenure. Like, you can tick off a whole lot of games. Beating Ole Miss when Eli was there, beating Ole Miss when Paxton Lynch was the quarterback. Like, you can tick off a bunch of games, all of which were a blast, none of which were in seasons when Memphis was a contender for a national championship. You don't have to be contending for a national championship or to be in a position where, as a program, you can in order to have fun. And so, yes, if you look at big picture, you know what it is? It's like being on Facebook. Jealousy? What do they call it? Is it a thief of joy?
Comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah. If you are looking at what you have relative to what this dude has, who's flying on his private jet to Paris, you're going to feel bad about your vacation to the Gulf Coast in your car, right? But it's, if you just think about it, it's a nice vacation in your car, it's great, the beach is beautiful, then you won't feel bad. So I'll subscribe to that. There are people flying around in private jets to Paris. I'm not one of them.
That's
but
true.
I have a pretty good life.
You do. You do. I think that, you know, but they, you know, they don't have what you have. They don't have the family. They don't have Claire.
I have a broken family, Jeffrey. Not Jeffrey, John. I also have a brain that's evidently deteriorating.
Are we having a Biden moment?
We're having
a Biden moment.
We're going to have to get our top people around here to ask to step down.
Yeah. Yeah, really. And here's the thing, is that I'm showing no signs of departing on my willingly, you know? People are suggesting, hey, Jeff, you might want to give up that radio show. Hey, Jeff, radio show might do better if you step aside for a little bit of a younger person. I'm like, over my dead body.
This is not true. This is what's amazing to me. Like, you're clearly declining, and yet, you know, unlike Biden, unlike Biden, people just want to keep spending money with you. It's like the opposite is happening for Joe. I mean, you know, it's just I don't know what it is, but I just read we're close to the end. We're close to the end of the Biden presidency.
I am. It's been 20 years since Joe Biden was as young as I am, just to be clear. I am two freaking decades. However old you think I am, I'm two decades younger than the current president.
That's amazing. That is actually amazing. Like, you would be like,
If I were running, for president, which isn't such a bad idea.
No, I'd vote for you.
I'd be a fresh new face, you know?
Look at this young guy.
Bill Clinton is younger than both of these dudes.
Is he? Oh, Clinton is younger than both of them.
Yes,
it's just incredible.
No, I mean, listen, I'm a big believer in you know, momentum when it comes to things like this. And, like, I mean, Joe's hold up with COVID, and, you know, Trump gets shot in the ear, and he's like, yeah, and he's got the RNC happening, and
he's gonna be wearing that bandage for forever too. Like, everyone's wearing the bandage now.
Yeah, like, unfortunately,
a thing on their ear, you know.
No, it's like, I mean, honestly, you know, you could not. From a Republican standpoint, you could not have scripted the week any better. I mean, Trump gets shot and comes back the next day,
and
Joe's got COVID.
He can barely totter up the stairs to the plane.
Joe's had 10 vaccines and he's got COVID. You know,
it's funny. Fishman sent me a video of Joe walking up the stairs to the plane, and honestly, for an 81 year old man, it was kind of impressive. You know. If an 81-year-old man, you can walk upstairs. There's not really, like, it's just pretty steep stairs up into the plane. It's pretty impressive. For the president of the United States, it's big.
Our president walked up the stairs today. You know, like, no, everything has been so bad.
Two bowel movements, you know?
Like, right.
Good day there.
You know, like, it's like people, like, you'll see these videos on TikTok, and it'll be like Joe, and he'll be, you know, he'll be giving a rousing speech, and people be like, where was this during the debate? And I, you know, you're like, well, that was probably from the hours of 10 to 4, you know? Like, that's why he was.
I haven't seen him giving rousing speeches since.
He's had moments. He's had moments. He's had little moments where, like, you know, where he's like, what's a black job? A black job is the vice president of the United States.
Right.
You know, that's a great line, right? But that was, again, from the hours of 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
It is a hell of a thing for Trump to say that Americans are taking black jobs.
It is.
My God.
It is.
What the hell? The racism embedded in that statement is just unbelievable.
Well, they're both sitting there, you know, looking like damn idiots about it, right? They're both like, Joe's trying to describe it, and Trump doesn't even care, you know? I mean, it was just that debate.
I thought we were talking about something cheerful, like Memphis and being left out and all that stuff.
Yeah, no. What we need to find something, like, we can't talk about Zach Edey because we don't know if he's going to play or not. You know, I'm trying to.
Groundhog Day with Zach Edey.
Could you maybe assist me in a
he's,
you know,
playing tonight?
Say again.
He is clearly playing tonight.
You believe that?
100%.
You 100% believe Edey's going to play?
100%. It is my 5-star. Mortal lock.
And what is this? Is this
Jeff
based on
Hawkins
intel?
Is not too old. Lock of the year.
Okay, so according to Jeff, Hashim Thabeet going to play tonight for the Grizz. No. So why is that on intel or?
No, it's not on intel. Of course not. What do you think I am? Like, no, it's pure speculation. Why would they continue to insist that he is not being shut down if he weren't going to play again. And the only game that's left that you're certain he'd be able to have on the schedule, although they would, you know, is tonight.
Well, they are they are huge favorites, though.
I know, but still, the only game you know that is left is tonight, and they say he will play again.
Right.
So he's got to play tonight. He's playing tonight. He is playing tonight.
I think that's. I would say I'd give it a 60% chance. What about the other? What about the other players, though? Would you rest like Gigi, for example?
I think Gigi will rest. Yeah, because he played last night. He played 30 minutes or something last night. So I suspect they will rest him. I mean, they didn't play Cam or LaRavia. So if those guys are healthy, they'll probably play him. I don't think there's any. Maybe LaRavia is done. I don't think there's any desire on their part to, like, you know, they're not load managing their summer league to rest people. They're just not. They shouldn't be. Why should they be? They're going to, as I said before, they're all going to be playing basketball one way or another. So unless it's a back-to-back or something, then maybe they're being a little more careful. But otherwise, the guys are playing. Maybe LaRavia, because he's a third-year guy. Like, maybe he's done. I could see that. But otherwise, I don't see this. I've actually not understood your obsession with having players not play in summer league, which is sort of, I just shut them all down.
Well, I thought.
Don't you realize Zach you have Edey, a freaking radio show to put on?
Yeah,
here?
Well, like, I don't honestly care about the other guys. But Zach Edey, the reason I said to shut down Zach Edey the day after he got hurt is because, like, he's just too, like, G.G. Jackson has no concrete role for the Grizzlies. Scottie Pippen Jr. has no concrete role for the Grizzlies. LaRavia, no concrete role for the Grizzlies. Like, those guys can play till 50 summer league games. I don't care. But in terms of Zach Edey, they have no option. So if he hit the deck three times in that game, and he turned his ankle. So why the hell am I going to put him out there for no reason? I mean, he's not going to play.
He's going to be playing.
He ain't going to play a game as competitive as a summer league game, though. He ain't. He ain't going to be hitting the damn floor for loose balls in a pickup game. He's not going to be doing that.
He's going to be playing basketball. He's going to be running up and down playing basketball. I got no problem.
But it's the level of intensity, man. It's the level of intensity. It's the level of intensity. The Grizzlies are a.
Had it occurred to you, by the way, that Liberty Bowl Stadium would. For some reason, I've been following this, but it hadn't dawned on me that they were actually going to have basically destroyed the west side of the stadium. By the time the season begins.
I did not know that. I mean, that's a drastic change.
Yeah, you're going to walk in there, and it's going to be like, a guy missing his two front teeth or something. Like, it's going to look, whoa, right? I mean, half the people will have been moved to the other side. There's still going to be people in the first 25 rows on this side. You're going to have, and Nick Wallace was quoting to Jeff Crane on my show today, you're going to have 32,000 capacity.
Right.
And that's, there have been a bunch of games,
mm-hmm.
certainly in the new era that have been north of 32,000. A lot of games you're like, if they get 32,000, that'd be a good crowd. Well, that would be every seat filled. In the old days, it was half filled, and you could stretch out in the upper, reaches. So it is different, and I hope it creates more urgency to actually buy tickets. The people know that they can't necessarily count on it, so that'd be kind of cool. But this thing is really underway, and it's real, and it'll be a very different feeling football season, it seems like.
Yeah, no, it will be. I think it'll actually, like, make it'll just make Memphis a hotter ticket, because they're like, I think there is just this sort of embedded, like, I'll just walk in, and now
I can get a ticket anytime.
You're not going to be able to do that now, almost certainly, right? I mean, it's just going to be different. I mean, you might
be different,
but I just feel like I think it will make for, a more, like, it's the feeling of exclusivity that does not normally accompany Memphis football games, which I think is good for attendance. That's right. Just the human nature of things. And so, yeah,
I've been working on another story. I don't know if it's gone up yet. Very important story. But have you gotten any pushback on your ranking of the rosters? I saw that story went up today on your ranking of the Memphis basketball rosters and where this one stacks up.
No, not really, because I think people will just realize that, man, he's got it sort of, he's got this perfect.
I mean, he's got it nailed.
Yeah, like, which I honestly think I do.
Seven rosters, right?
This will be Penny's seventh roster. Yep.
And what number is this? This is number.
This is going to be for the ranking, you're saying?
No, for the ranking, yeah.
This will be number we have them ranked number four.
Is it surprising to you that it that it is honestly that high, given the sort of feeling that has prevailed in the city about, you know,
it's not really high. It's like smack dab in the middle. It's like literally mediocre.
It's nowhere close to his worst.
It's nowhere close to the best.
that's true. Where do you have this roster rank compared to last year's roster?
I have last year's roster at a spot ahead.
How do you separate what we now know about, you know, about the center, for example? You know, like what we now know about, you know, this time last year, we thought they had a big man who was going to.
Right.
So when you rank them ahead, are you counting him as if he is a potential all-conference leading scorer center, or are you counting him as what he became?
Well, no, I'm counting him as how was the roster constructed in terms of the players, right? How was it constructed from a positional standpoint? And I think this one has more going, or excuse me, the 23 last year's roster had more going for it than this one does. You know, last year's roster had a true point guard. It had, you know, a high caliber scorer. It had shooting. It had depth. And it had, you know, when you bring in a guy like Naquan Tomlin, it had a super talented big man, right? You know, this one, I'm less certain. I'm less certain of certain things. Like, there's no depth. I mean, there's just no depth at all right now. And, you know, you're basically banking on a redshirt sophomore guard coming over and doing the same thing he did for a bad team as a freshman. So I just think there are more question marks in terms of the roster itself this year versus last year.
Who is better bigs before Tomlin got there?
Jordan, Dandridge. Dandridge was playing well. Dandridge had a good year until the end, until that whole thing. And Caleb Mills. They had Caleb Mills to start. Who's the Caleb Mills on this
big
team?
Yeah,
no, I'm saying, though, like, I'm just going through the roster, though. Like, you had Caleb Mills coming off the bench. There's no Caleb Mills coming off the bench for this team.
Yeah, no. It's so different. We know that Quinterly was toxic in the end, right? We know that David Jones alienated players. We know that Jordan Brown was a bust, right? And yet, when we look at that roster with such promise, it was with Jordan Brown as a dynamic player. Now, in the end, Naquan Tomlin was every bit as good as everyone really had hoped Jordan Brown would be, but he was a mid-season pickup, you know, so it's hard to imagine. But I think you're right. I think there's more talent on that roster. The problem with that roster wasn't talent, very clearly.
No, like what I will say, like, What I found myself, first of all, I had a blast just kind of going through and like reliving the teams and just, you know, thinking about those years. But what the overwhelming feeling that I would feel as I was sort of putting these words down was, and going through the rosters, like, oh my God, this team was freaking loaded. This team, like year after year,
really?
This team was freaking loaded.
Give me a team that was loaded.
The 2020 team, the 2021 team, the COVID year.
Who was on that team?
DeAndre Williams, Landers Nolly, sophomore Lester Quinones, junior Alex Lomax, sophomore Boogie Ellis, sophomore DJ Jeffries, freshman Musa Cisse. That team was loaded.
Or is it's funny because you could also look at it as, maybe we just overrated all these.
No, we did not overrate.
Like,
no,
DJ
no.
DJ Jeffries, you included DJ Jeffries.
Yeah,
as
but I mean, he was coming off at that time. He was coming off of a great freshman year, right? Like at that time.
Then you look at you know, Alo and Tyler as what we once thought they were going to be, as opposed to honestly what they became.
Okay, DeAndre Williams, Landers Nolly, Lester Quinones, Boogie Ellis should be a tournament team. Yes or no?
Yeah, no, that's 100% a tournament team. That was total mismanagement.
Yeah.
That was a disaster.
That's what I'm saying. You know, Moose as a defender in the paint. I mean, like, he was.
Yeah, Moose is not a star, but in that role, he's.
Yeah, he was one of the best shot blockers in the country, you know?
He didn't want to be in that role.
He didn't, and then he found out. Yeah. He messed around and found out. But, you know, yeah, like, you just go through, you know. I mean, Minot was a bit player for the 2021-22 team. He's in the NBA, you know? I mean, it's just, that's the thing I came away with. Like, damn, these teams have been really, really good.
This team is not loaded.
This team is not loaded, so I know you guys are hoping that the inverse is true, but I think the likelihood is that it's not. Now, I will have a piece coming out next week for the Daily Memphian where I poll multiple national experts as to whether or not they think that Memphis will dance next year. And so I'm looking forward to getting the answers there from the national perspective. I can't tell you. I don't want to give it away, but that's coming.
Okay.
So
good. I'm interested.
Maybe some more good news on the way. Jeff, you're the best. Thanks for the time, as always.
Thanks, John. See you.
Yep. He is Jeff Caucus. Join us every Thursday here on the show. Hey, if you're thinking about moving, if you are considering listing your house, putting it on the market, and getting some new digs, I would actually recommend nobody other than the Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency, because they're the best. They're going to help you navigate the process. It is not easy. You got a lot of stuff you're going to have to deal with and go through, and it takes time, it takes effort, and that's what they take care of for you. They are super easy to reach, always there to answer any questions that you may have. And the best part is they're going to help you make the most money for your home. If you're a first-time home buyer, you're probably overwhelmed. And they know that, and they've been through it 1,000 times. And that's where they're going to come in and, again, help you find exactly what you're looking for, help you get the best deal. It's what they do every single day. So reach out to our friends, Jennifer and her team, at the Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency. Email them, sold@livelovememphis.com.
Get closer to the action with 92.9 FM ESPN on the free Odyssey app.
But if you can't catch it live, you know, when you're going running or doing something else, you can listen to Jason and John on the app.
Right now, Leaders Credit Union is going to be your home. Should be your home for your money, because that's where it's going to grow the most. That Forward Plus High Yield Savings Account, man. I know it might be a little hassle moving your money, but it is worth the time. Because over at Leaders Credit Union, you're going to have no minimums, no balance tiers, and no restrictions to keep you from championing your personal finances. Earn up to 4.25% APY on your money. And all you got to do to open your account is visit leaderscu.com/ESPN. See the website for full details and disclosures. Leaders is your financial champion, federally insured by the NCUA. Grizz, obviously, in action a little bit later today. We'll see if Zach Edey plays. That's what we're all going to wait on, no doubt about that. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Jeff Caucus for joining us on the show today. As always, thanks to Drew Hill.
Big show tomorrow.
Yeah, big show tomorrow. Going to have Calvin Austin III in studio. So we are looking forward to catching up with the Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver. New quarterback.
That's fun.
New quarterback, for him. So we'll have him in studio. Should be a good time. Jeffrey and company up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
Stay connected with 92.9 FM ESPN. Catch up anytime with all things Memphis. Never miss a moment on 92.9 FM ESPN with the free Odyssey app. Unsportsmanlike ESPN Morning.
Chris Canty on 92.9.
Jeff Caucus, Jason and John, Jeffrey and Company, The Gabe Kuhn Show.
Gabe Kuhn on 92.9 makes my commute so much better.
Anytime with Rewind. Smart speakers say play 92.9 ESPN.
I love listening to sports in Memphis with 92.9 on Odyssey.
Memphis is number one place for sports. This is WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies. 92.9 FM, ESPN, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Get in zone.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.